Hey, all you crazy ghouls and goblins.
I think we gotta keep the laughter in.
Welcome back to the Misfits and Mysteries podcast. It's a weekly podcast where we take you through everything from psychology to history and aliens and time travelers and everything in between. We are your hosts, Emmy
and Steve.
So, Steve, what do we have on the docket this week?
Before we get into anything serious, what we're actually talking about, your little intro reminded me that Doc Antle from Tiger King actually just got indicted on wildlife trafficking charges.
Thank God.
I know, right? He and his weird ass people, he had that weird orgy couch. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do know what you're talking
about.
I
mean, that's not a couch. That's an orgy guy couch. It's not a couch that you or I would own.
That is a red flag for sure.
I'm also looking at these photos of him right now. He's such a weird looking guy with his long ass hair. And then he clearly has like strong arms, but his triceps are really large and just flabby. And he just looks ridiculous.
I don't like him at all.
I don't either.
I feel like a lot of people in Tiger King could be like redeemable. Not him.
I mean, I think no one who owned any of these big cat places could be redeemable.
Well, but you kind of were rooting for what's his face the whole time.
Joe?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I was rooting for Joe.
But, like, he was very likable.
Yeah, I mean, he had good intentions when he started off his thing, but he killed tigers, and he kept them in cages and bred them. And those things should be in captivity. I mean, there were some lies about it. All those stats they have about there being more tigers in captivity in the U.S. is actual total bullshit. That's just not close to the facts. I forgot the exact stats off the top of my head. I mean, there still are, in my opinion, way too many tigers in America, considering that most of them aren't in zoos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but what we're actually going to talk about is time travel, and we're going to talk about a demon. I don't like demons. You just suggested I do Ouija boards, and I regret searching this topic, so sorry to poo-poo on everyone's parade, but I'm going to ridicule this legend.
All right, that was not my fault. I said that I might do Ouija board.
Okay.
And honestly, I am very interested in still doing that. I did some research and wasn't able to find anything. So if any of you listeners have a Ouija board story or know of a fun Ouija board story, let me know because I would love to cover it.
Yeah, honestly, if that's the case, there's like a 90% chance I just misread your text. I put myself through this for nothing.
Did I tell you to cover Ouija boards? Is that what you're saying?
I think I might have misread it. I think you might have said that you're going to do Ouija boards. I'm like, fuck, I have to do Ouija boards? Because I don't like Ouija boards.
I know you don't like that stuff. I didn't mean to send you down the wrong path.
It's fine. We have a good one. I'm going to be all very right. Critical because I don't like demons. Yeah.
It'll be a good story, though.
Yeah, it should be good. I guess also I want to just try out at the beginning today instead of bringing up the end. We'll also bring up the end again per usual. But if you guys are liking this podcast, please like and subscribe and comment. That helps with the Apple podcast, like Spotify algorithms and whatnot. And also, more importantly, it lets us know you're enjoying what we're doing. And as long as you give us positive feedback, as long as it's constructive criticism and not just mean, we're very receptive to hearing what works and what doesn't work, and will help us make a better show for ourselves and also make it more enjoyable for you guys.
We're going to get bullied now, Steve.
I know. If you're mean to us, I'm going to be really mean back to you on the podcast, okay? I can be really mean.
No, you can't.
I can be real mean. I'll find where you live, and I'll send you a strongly worded letter in the mail.
I'll send you
addressed to your mother.
Demon that you're going to talk about.
Yeah. No, I'm gonna mail your mother and be like, look at these nasty things little Johnny's saying online. You should wash his mouth out with soap.
All right. It's getting weird now.
So, Steve, have you seen this really weird show, Kid Nation?
I actually have heard of it. I think I watched an episode. I haven't really watched it though, but it seems entertaining. It's like a reality show where they have a bunch of children that are living in like a old-timey Western town.
Yeah, yeah. And they just let the children run wild.
Yeah. It's a wild show. Maybe we should just watch that and that'll be a weekly segment. So that's the thing we're going to do going forward. So you guys make sure to watch episode 1 of Kid Nation before next Thursday so we can discuss and you can be in on the conversation. And it'll be a fun thing.
It's on YouTube, right?
It's on YouTube, I believe. We will be doing that. We'll be watching an episode a week. So follow along with us so you can part of the conversation. And yeah.
Yeah, perhaps we'll put a link to it in the episode notes.
Yes. We'll also put something on Twitter as well. So I guess this is something we talked about as well, but did you see that haunted castle in upstate New York sold finally?
Oh, it did?
Yeah, and it's a little bit
of
a bummer.
How much did it sell for?
It sold for about $400,000, which is still insanely cheap when you factor in that it's a 7,000 square foot, three-story castle in the Finger Lakes with an extra spooky basement, four fireplaces, a carriage house, a turret, and stained glass windows. And also, there are so many bedrooms that the listing legit just said, look at the floor plan. And also, you got ghosts. Wow.
Yeah, but we don't want ghosts.
Yeah, I know.
We both hate ghosts.
And it was going on to auction for like $25,000. And I was like, I could actually afford that if it's just $25,000. But I was joking around about this with my mom. And she said, there's no way you could afford to heat that place or the taxes.
Fair.
Like, what would we do? Like, heat a single room at a time?
That's why we gotta keep getting people to listen to our podcast.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good thing we didn't purchase this place as a podcast studio because, frankly, there are quite a few downsides. Besides, like, heating it being a nightmare, I don't know if you saw the outside of it, but it's, like, this hideous red brick color, and that just has to go.
Yeah. It would probably be a real fixer-upper.
Oh, yes. A real fixer-upper. And the crazy thing is, like, $400,000 is nothing for that big of a mansion.
No.
Especially if it turns out not to actually be haunted. That's the steal of the century.
I mean, that's more money than I've ever had. A lot more money than I've ever had in my whole life. But...
Yeah, well, I don't have $400,000. But if you look at it, like, there was this house in an article beneath it that I looked at that was an eighth the size and just, like, covered in black mold head to toe. And it sold for $800,000, just for reference. Also in upstate New York. So
yeah,
it's a steal.
My brother just bought a house outside of Boston, not even that close, like an hour outside of Boston. It's 1.5 bedrooms, and it's nice. It's a nice house, but it was $350,000.
Yeah.
And to think that there could be like a castle.
Yeah, you should tell your brother he made a big mistake. He could have bought a haunted castle for $400,000. It wasn't even $400,000. It was like $380,000. It's still, like, way too cheap for something that big, so if we're a little richer.
That means there must be something wrong with it.
Ghost, it was built in the 1800s, so probably, I'm telling you, that place is going to be a nightmare to heat. 7,000 square feet. I don't think it's been renovated, so I just think that, like, it's going to be super heat inefficient. It's probably asbestos in there. It's probably mold all over the place. It'd be a lot of work.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah. So how was your Halloween?
You know, I was with my family this year. I went back home with my family and we had a great Halloween. I was with my niece and nephew who are, you know, children. So they got to trick or treat and stuff. But my niece is allergic to peanuts.
I remember that.
Yes, so very allergic to peanuts. So I was going around this year. It's like mostly people would just have a bucket of candy at the end of their driveway or something instead of ringing the doorbell. So I would grab a bunch of candy because I knew that I was going to be able to trade with my niece at the end of the night for all of her peanut candy. So I really scored big on the Reese's and the Snickers.
That's awesome.
And then I fell asleep watching Halloween Town at like 9 p.m.
So. That's a great, great film. I actually loved that one as a kid. That was one of the few Halloween movies that didn't scare me when I was a child. But Charlie, oh, also, follow up to a story from last week. So I figured out, which I also wrote on the blog, I figured out exactly what I thought happened in It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. And it sounds like I'm really off base. I didn't watch it or anything. So my brother convinced me that the ending of It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, the Great Pumpkin is an evil pumpkin that comes to life and eats everyone. So that's mm-hmm. when I was afraid of that movie, because I thought that's what happened. But I never bothered watching it again to find out. So I've been living with that fear until about this year, but I never really thought about it.
Did you watch it again this year?
No, I don't have Apple TV Pro, whatever it's called, Plus. Mm. But I just brought it up and talking to people about it, but yeah, it's not at all what happens.
Yeah, I don't remember it being scary. I couldn't.
It wasn't. My brother just convinced me that it was scary.
That's sad.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I had a pretty low-key Halloween. I was up in Vermont with my family, so we had no trick-or-treaters or anything because there's, like, no kids. Everything's super spread out. And COVID. So it was nice relaxing. Yeah. Didn't do anything too spooky or Halloween-themed because my family members aren't really into watching, like, horror movies or anything. And I don't have any little siblings or like, nephews or nieces or anything to do that with, so it was just chill, hung out.
I feel like you didn't really miss much if you didn't go out this Halloween. You know, it's just not a lot happening.
Yeah, not like last year when I was too hungover to go to your Halloween party. Who would have thought that would be as regrettable as it was? Because it's not like I could even do it next year.
I know. Legendary.
Yeah. All right, so you want to get into the show?
All right, let's do it.
All right. Now we're going to talk about a topic that I really did not enjoy learning about, and you guys better enjoy it because I suffered through this. I fucking hate demons. I don't like this whole stuff. I don't like possessions. I don't like Ouija boards. I don't like ghosts. I like ghost stories. I don't like real ghosts, you know? So I suffered through this for your amusement, everyone, and because I thought Emmy told me I had to do it, but apparently I just misread the text, and I probably should have read it twice.
But here we are.
Yeah, exactly. Here we are. I was a little frightened last night, a little spooked, and I couldn't even get my mind off of it because I went to watch like Sunday Night Football, and it was the freaking Eagles versus the Cowboys, which is a nightmare of a game. Both teams suck. So I had nothing good to watch. So I watched a little Scooby-Doo. Wasn't great. Watched some South Park, you know, but I was still a little spooked out. Went to bed all spooked, did not sleep well. So you guys better freaking like this nonsense.
So, all right.
Today,
well, with that intro.
Yeah, with that intro. Today, we're talking about Zozo the demon, I guess, or Demon Zozo, Zozo demon, Zuzo, Zazo. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's Z-O-Z-O.
Z-O-Z-O. Oh, my God. It's not the same as Momo, is it?
No.
Okay, never mind.
That's that weird creepypasta with, like, this weird...
Yeah, we talked about this last week.
Yeah, no, it's not that. This is a demon, get someone with a Ouija board. I don't really know anything about this Momo character, but it's not that. Okay, so basically, the first account of this Zozo character comes from this guy named Darren Evans in 2009. So this Darren Evans character, he wrote on this message board about like true ghost stories about his encounters with this Zozo creature. And Zozo apparently goes by Zozo, Zaza, Mama, Oz, Zoza, and Abacus.
Abacus?
Yeah, if we're in Sesame Street, we'd be doing which one of these is not like the other.
Yeah. Isn't an abacus to be what calculators were?
Yeah. I'm going to chalk that one up to someone's bullshit story or a really poor Google Translate.
Yeah.
All right, so basically, I'm going to skewer this story, but first I'm going to do it fun. I'm going to be fun, and I'm going to act like it's real, even though I think this is nonsense, and I've convinced myself it's 100% nonsense. All right. So basically, according to the legend, how this goes down is you're playing – when you go to play with a Ouija board – is it a Ouija board or an Ouija board?
I think it's a Ouija board.
A Ouija board, even though it's spelled no. Okay. So when you play with it, if an Ouija board, you basically, it's like you start, I guess I've never done it. So do you want to explain how exactly a Ouija board works and you like meet a spirit?
Yeah. I haven't done it in a while, but there's a little triangle shaped, almost looks like a thing in the middle of a pizza box.
Mm-hmm.
And you have some friends around a circle and you all put your hands on it, and there's a board with every letter of the alphabet and numbers 0 through 9.
Mm-hmm.
And you all put your hands on this little, I wish I knew what the name of it was, but the little P. plastic. Yeah, so you put your hands on the little plastic thing, and then you ask the spirits a question. So it might be like, who this is what we would do in middle school, like, who likes me? And then it would like move to different letters on the board and spell out a name.
Mm-hmm. Was that right?
Probably not. And I also I had a friend who was notorious for pushing the plastic thing in whatever direction she wanted to go in. So
she would just, it was just fraudulent. Okay. So basically,
yeah, it was pretty fraudulent.
So basically it gives me a decent idea of how that works, 'cause I've never done it. I never watched a video or anything. Okay. So basically, quite a legend. It's like when you ask the spirit its name, it'll do like a figure eight and then rapidly go back and forth between Z and O, which just seems a little ridiculous to me, but whatever. I'm not going to be a skeptic right now. I'm going to be Believer Steve.
Believer Steve.
Believer Stever will call me.
That's got to go on the merch once we got merch.
Yes.
Believer Stever.
Yeah, you gotta recommend this show to all your friends so we can make merch, because I really want to make merch, but it would be a financially irresponsible decision at the moment.
We're going to have bucket hats.
Oh, my God. Long sleeve t-shirts, sweatshirts. Even maybe we'll have our own alcoholic beverage line.
That would be pretty sweet.
Yeah. All right. So basically, after he spells his name out rapidly, Z-O-Z-O, he starts off really friendly. Like he'll start answering questions about like your close family members that no one would really know to like gain your trust. And then he starts just spelling out curse words and just profanity, which I think is kind of hysterical.
Just like any curse words?
The first guy is Darren character, who claims that who's like the first person to ever report Zozo before all these like other accounts came out. He claims that it was in either Latin or Hebrew. That can't be true, because if everyone realizes that he's writing like swear words at them, it's got to be in English or whatever language they speak. It can't be in like Hebrew or Latin. Because who the hell?
Yeah.
What are the odds that everyone who has been contacted by him speaks Latin or Hebrew?
I don't even know. Yeah.
He's a funny ghost, I think. He's just foul-mouthed asshole. And then he also apparently, he curses at you, makes some grim threats, allegedly makes ghoulish noises, breaks things, and instills fear for fun, much like our good friend R.L. Stein.
Who's R.L. Stein?
Goosebumps. Create Goosebumps.
Oh. The whole time you were saying that, I was thinking of Jeff the Mongoose.
Yeah. First account was this Darren character posting online about it. And then after that, there have been thousands of reported cases of people having similar experiences and posting online and being surprised to find that hundreds or thousands of other people had the exact same experience with the same Zozo character. And people have been sharing these stories, and it's kind of crazy, right? But what I think is just kind of weird, I mean, it is 2009, so it is possible that like the internet wasn't that big of a thing back then. I just talked about a lot last episode with urban legends, but it's possible that maybe he was happened to actually be the first person. Everyone's like, oh shit, this happened too. But I'm also just concerned that it's kind of fraudulent stuff because people are like just feeding into the tale like Slenderman, but we'll get into that some more. So this Darren character claims that bad things happen. My favorite thing of the article I read is they said one man claims, and it was Darren, I know, because I've read other articles as well.
Darren. So he claims
that Zozo would appear in like wherever, in various states, so it wasn't, and different Ouija boards, so it wasn't just like one was haunted or whatever. And allegedly he made threats against Darren's child and by attempting to drown her, and then she had a mysterious illness after. Okay, so I decided I was going to hold off being a party pooper, but in another source I read what the actual full account, and my God, I think that Darren and his wife are just really bad parents. Because his toddler, would you leave a toddler for a second unattended in a bath?
No.
No. So, according...
When was this?
This was after he contacted Zozo.
No, but like, is this like recently? Is this?
This is like circa 2009.
Okay, so.
So this guy's wife, right, left their daughter in the bathtub alone for like, right, like
so
a minute.
So they knew better.
Left the room, and then they blame it on Zozo. That's terrible parenting. I would never leave my child, who could easily drown in a bathtub, in there. And she got a mysterious illness afterwards. It's like, yeah, no shit she did. You guys are terrible parents. She's probably been eating like dog shit. Or she has fluid in her lungs because she almost drowned because you left a toddler unattended in a bathtub.
Yeah, that's kind of disturbing.
Yeah, that did not sit well with me because this guy's clearly putting his like bad parenting off and blaming a freaking non-existent demon.
Ugh, I don't like that.
I don't like that either. This guy also, the reason I think it's bullshit is... Not even, like, I'm not trying to be a party pooper here, but the amount of profiteering this guy has done off this story, if he was seriously negatively afflicted by this demon and wanted to stop it, you think that he wouldn't have, an indie film, gone on various Ghost Hunter shows, published books. He's profiting off this so much. Like, you'd think that someone who's...
And his only claim to fame is that he, like...
That he started the story. He's the first person to have ever written about it.
That's dumb.
Yeah, and I just think, like, why would you want to profit off of something that this awful that happened to you? I mean, sure, you can argue always spreading awareness, but I think that it's just fake stuff that he just fabricated, and it's a really good story like Slenderman, and people just ran with it.
Ugh, I don't like that.
Yeah. Okay, so the other thing about Zozo that's kind of interesting, I guess, is that there is some evidence of him existing a long time ago, like being an ancient demon, which is a little spooky, right? Which is a little bit harder to refute. So like, for example, so the one thing that this is what really sort of makes me think that this is fake and is a lot of the issue I have with Bigfoot, where people just really get fixated on really lackluster evidence, was from Colin DeBlancy's Demonic Encyclopedia. And there was a story of this little girl who was possessed and harassed by three evil spirits. And that was Mimi Carplot. And
Carplot.
It's C-A-R-P Carpuliot. I don't know. And Zozo, right? And the demons would like torment her, possess her, force her to walk on her hands or act indecent in public, right? And people are running wild. This, like, look at this concrete evidence. So what really bugs me about this is that an actual expert who speaks French and was, I guess, versed in ancient French, or like not ancient, but ye old French, translated it accurately. And in the encyclopedia, they acknowledge that they never say the word Zozo. That's a mistranslation. And it blatantly says that this was a fabricated possession, that this girl had some sort of mental issue and she'd pretend to be possessed all the time. So it's like their strongest piece of evidence is completely fabricated. And I honestly want to argue that it's maliciously interpreted incorrectly to fit their own narrative.
Yeah. I wonder if they would come back and say, like, oh, well, how do you know it was fake?
How do you know it was fake? I don't know. Police actually told the priest that they couldn't exorcise her anymore because she was full of shit.
Yikes.
Yeah.
They're like, she's past the point of return. Don't
Yeah,
exercise her
I think that
anymore.
she's just an indecent human. And then there's other theories that he's actually a demon that goes all the way back to ancient Mesopotamia. There's the king of wind demons, Pazuzu, which some people believe is Zozo. I don't really know what wind demons are. I didn't really look into it because I didn't really care to.
A
But
wind demon?
the king of the wind demons.
Wow.
Yeah. And then this is the theory that I like and I would run with because I think it's hysterical. So some people believe that Zozo is actually not a single entity, but rather the name of various evil spirits that they use to scare us. So basically, the idea is that some people believe that it's like a bunch of spirits are bored and are like, let's just fuck with people and scare them.
But how does that explain the Ouija board?
How I like to picture it is, let's say like you and all your other buddy ghosts are like kicking back, drinking some ghost beers, and like, hey, people are summoning us. You'll be hysterical. What if we pretend to be the Zozo character they're scared of and just give them a little fright? Because like, think about it. I would do that. If I were bored and I was a ghost, I would just be fucking with people all the
Yeah, you have
time.
all of eternity, might as well.
Yeah, people troll each other in real life. Why wouldn't they troll, like when they're alive, why wouldn't they troll each other when they're dead?
Yeah, and it seems like Zozo hasn't really done that much.
So Zozo is particularly attracted to women over men. I think he's a little bit of a horny boy. He
Don't like
also
that.
tends to be attracted to people with suicidal tendencies, depression, or other psychological disorders. So some researchers, I want to know who the hell these researchers are and what their credentials are, but they claim that people with psychological disorders are more vulnerable to demonic influence, giving a demon more power over them, making it easier to push them to do more extreme things like suicide or hurting or scaring others. This is literally the stupidest sentence I ever read. Are you telling me that the psychological disorder makes it easier for the demons to control them? Or is a more logical explanation that they're seeing demons because they have schizophrenia?
Or that they're just more likely to have suicidal tendencies if they have mental illness.
Exactly. And if they're already suicidal, I don't think speaking to Zozo is going to make them kill themselves more than what they're already going to do. It's bad.
It's like that Slender Man girl who said
Exactly, I was
that,
going to bring up. I was
yeah.
thinking that too. It's like the Slender Man girl, you said that she had spoken to Slender Man, Voldemort, and the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, it's
I
like
don't think that.
Slender Man was not what pushed her over the edge. Like,
Yeah.
she was gonna do something bad.
Yeah, she's going to do something bad anyway. Probably those damn Ninja Turtles. And it's like, it's probably the same thing. If he only presents himself to people who are mentally ill, wouldn't you think that maybe they all just read this legend online and then started seeing him and hearing him because they're more susceptible to this stuff?
Yeah.
So apparently,
Now I'm
also,
getting freaked out.
what'd you say?
Now I'm getting freaked out.
Yeah, just don't use a Ouija board and you're fine. So apparently people who
Too
encounter
late.
him, oh no. Apparently people who encounter him feel sudden bouts of anger, fear, depression, and bad thoughts. And apparently some people have physical symptoms such as headaches, sleepwalking, and bruises.
Interesting.
I like discount the bruises because if he mostly contacts women, I know just from college that girls just wake up with bruises. So who knows?
Yeah.
That one's hard to blame on him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well.
And then, so here's some of the stuff that really goes against it. These are three, I'd say the three best counterpoints for why Ouija boards are stupid and not real, and why there's no way that this Zozo guy exists. First of all, you're telling me that Mattel mass produces a freaking board game and there are spirits like trapped inside of it, or the spirits not a con can contact you through this board game and only this board game? That makes no goddamn sense.
There's not spirits trapped inside of it. It helps you communicate with the spirits who are around at any given location.
And who designed this thing, Emmy? How do they know that this is how spirits communicate?
You know, Steve, I literally almost made my story about like the history of the Ouija board, mm-hmm. but it ended up being not that exciting.
Okay.
So,
maybe I don't want to know then.
Yeah, so it's pretty boring.
So this is a really interesting thing, which sort of plays into my idea about people's susceptibility and everything in their head. So in 1972, there's a psychological experiment that was designed to test if people who contact spirits entirely just in their head. So basically for this study, the researchers created a fake person who died, a fake dead person named Philip P. Aysford, right? And mm-hmm. they invited a group of people who didn't know this person, right, to run a seance to summon the ghost. Remember that Philip P. Aysford has never existed. He is a figment of the researcher's imagination, right? So mm-hmm. this group eventually managed to make contact with Philip, and they were convinced they could feel his presence, hear knocking sounds coming from the table, and felt the table vibrate. And at one point, they claimed to see the table tilt up onto two legs. All the while, Philip never existed. They were contacting.
They're literally just sitting in a room.
They're literally in a room, and they believed it so much that they believed it was true, even though it was not true. And this study just shows how susceptible we can be to seeing spirits, even if they're not actually there.
Yeah, I believe it.
All it takes is a little confirmation bias, right? You got to just convince yeah. people that this is a real thing, and they will believe it because psychology.
A little push in the right direction. Mm-hmm.
The final explanation for what could explain Ouija boards in general and why they're kind of bullshit and this whole Zozo effect is the Ideometer effect? Ideometer? I don't really know how to pronounce it. So basically, the ideometer effect is the subconscious and involuntary movement of muscles, typically to a very small and likely imperceptible degree. So basically, what this means is your muscles subconsciously move and you can't notice it. So the idea is that this is a really well-documented effect. And the idea is with Ouija boards, when you're all like holding it, you might not know it. But you have, let's say you have this fear of this Zozo character in your head, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe you're not purposely doing it, but you're subconsciously, your muscles are moving towards the Z and the O. Because it's a subconscious thing, right? So yeah. Let's say you're asking the Ouija board a question you want the answer to. And let's say like it's like when you were a kid, you'd ask it things like, who likes me or has a crush on me? So let's say you had a crush on Jimmy, right?
Uh-huh.
And you really want Jimmy to like you back. You might subconsciously move the thing to like a J or something, right? Because your muscles are just acting that way. And it's nothing you can do about it. It's such a small like thing that you just don't notice it. And this is the same thing they did. The Ideometer effect also was famously used to disprove the table turning fad that swept supernatural believers in London. And Michael Faraday did this. I'm not really sure what the table turning was. But it has something to do with like contacting ghosts. And it was basically proven that it was just your muscles.
I think it's literally turning a table over.
Yeah, that's what I'd guess. I don't really feel like Googling this stuff. But basically, the consensus is that it's really easy to trick your subconscious into doing things. So maybe you trick yourself into believing a seance exists for someone never existed. Or you subconsciously move the little thingamajigger to letters you want because it fits your narrative.
But it's more fun to think that it's real.
Yeah, it is. Or another alternative explanation is that the Zozo character does exist and he knows that they're doing the experiment, or these spirits know and they're just fucking with everyone and making it
true.
And actually made that table go up on two legs.
Yeah, like pretending to be the Michael guy.
Who is Michael?
I thought Michael was the name of the fake ghost.
And what?
What?
What are you talking about, Michael?
I thought Michael was the name of the fake ghost.
No, his name was Philip. The
experiment.
Oh, I was really confused.
Why did I think it was Michael?
I don't know. I was like, who the hell is Michael?
You definitely said Michael.
Are you sure? No. Oh, Michael Faraday is the guy who disproved the table turning. So yeah, you're not wrong.
Oh, okay. I was like, am I going crazy?
I was like, what are you talking about? Okay, that makes sense. We're probably, if you're ever going to suggest a topic in the future, don't suggest demons. I'm not going to have fun with it. I don't like demons. I don't want to believe in them. I think they're too freaky. So I'm going to just be really critical of any topic related to demons and possessions. I don't like that stuff.
Yeah, I don't like that either. I literally, you know how I told you on the podcast a few weeks ago about how I had that quote unquote break-in encounter?
Yeah.
So I actually bought a bat today.
Nice.
To keep under my bed in case there's any demons or intruders.
Is it aluminum or a Louisville Slugger?
It's a Louisville Slugger.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Pretty heavy.
Yeah, I know. Those things are pretty heavy. Is it like a full-size bat?
No, it's not a full-size bat.
I mean, what is that? That's like ashwood. That stuff's really thick. You think about it. You can hit a baseball really far and really fast.
Yeah, I'll show you. Hang on.
Oh, nice. You can do some damage to that thing.
Yeah, you could crush some skulls with this.
You could really kill someone with that.
So,
have you been practicing your swing?
No one tried to break into my apartment.
Have you been practicing your swing, Emmy?
I should.
You should go to a batting cage.
Pretend that I'm hitting someone's head.
Yeah. Buy a bunch of watermelons and just smash them. That could be really fun. Or a pumpkin.
That could be pretty fun. Hey, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Leftover pumpkins. That could be really fun.
That could be fun.
Yeah. I mean, I have my knife, as you know. And we have in Vermont.
Every episode we talk about this knife.
Oh,
every episode I think it's a bad idea.
Speaking of which, we got to plug Curiosity Stream so I can get paid by them at some point. Their CEO actually has liked two of our tweets, and I think that there are going to be some moves in the future. I responded to her and said balls in her court. So we'll see.
She didn't like that one, did she?
Not yet, but she also liked two tweets from like 2 months ago. So I think that she comes on to Twitter like once every 2 months.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. There's actually a Halloween documentary on there, but of course it didn't come up until like 2 days before Halloween, and then I wasn't home and I never watched it. But
Halloween,
you know,
like about the history of Halloween?
Think so. Yeah, I mean, if you want to sponsor us, I will watch and review that documentary.
Balls in your court.
Yeah, exactly. Balls in your court, Curiosity Stream.
All right, Steve. So I'm going to tell you about the mystery of John Titor.
John Titor?
Titter, teacher.
Titter?
Titter, titillator.
The titillator?
Who knows? So John Titor is one of the most famous, and I won't say the most famous, but one of the most well-known and well-documented cases of someone claiming that they're a time traveler in the internet age.
Yeah.
So in the year 2000, so right after Y2K, when everybody's freaking out about
mm-hmm.
computers and machines taking over the world.
I don't think it's that. I thought that people were freaking out because they thought that machines couldn't handle the number 2000.
Yes, well, that too. I think that too. But that actually, no, that's going to come up. That's going to come up. So this is in the fall of 2000. So there's this message board called the Time Travel Institute, now known as Curious Cosmos. And this guy basically started posting about how he was a time traveler from the year 2038.
Mm-hmm.
And he called himself John Titor, and he posted on this message board for about 4 months and then has completely disappeared
mm-hmm.
since then. And no one has heard from him since 2001.
Yeah.
But people are still to this day talking about him, absolutely obsessed with him. So his whole thing is that he is from the year 2038, but he was going back to the year 1975 mm-hmm. and just popped into the year 2000 to say hi to his parents.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a member of the U.S. military intelligence. And he was sent back to the year 1975 in order to bring an IBM 5100 computer back mm-hmm. to his time in the future.
Why would he want that piece of shit in the future?
So that's the question.
Because he could have gone to 2020 and gotten an iPhone 12, and that would be like
and had way 10 more computing power,
times more effective than his IBM like 5000.
So have you ever heard of the year 2038 problem? So this is the year 2038 problem, and this is a well-documented thing that people were talking about back in the 70s when computers were first coming out. So this IBM computer is one of the first mobile computers that quote unquote mobile, but you could pick it up if you wanted to. It's not something you would travel with.
It's like a desktop.
Like, yeah. I mean, I think it was still like really heavy and clunky, but like you could pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like an entire room of a computer. So the 2038 problem is all of these computers that were coming out, including this IBM one, but computers before that too, their internal clock starts at January 1st, 1970, mm-hmm. and goes through January 5th, 2038. Mm-hmm. So past then, that's all the computing power that they have. They literally can't count any higher.
Mm-hmm.
And the theory is that once these computers get to the year 2038, and some computers are still on this operating system, like modern computers, that once we get to the year 2038, the clocks will reset and the computers will think it's 1970 and they literally won't be able to handle it. And then everything's going to shut down.
But, like, what about all the computers that don't use this OS?
Well, John Titor wasn't actually from that year, probably. So he didn't know about this.
Yeah. Also, like, let's be 100% honest here. If I'm time traveling to 2000, you know what I'm doing? I'm not fucking asking people on message boards or stealing yeah. these supercomputers. You know what I'm doing? I'm sports betting, and I'm going to be the richest fucking gambler on the planet.
Yep. Instead of bringing back this computer, why wouldn't you just invest in Apple?
I know, or I'm telling you, even easier, don't have to invest in Apple because that takes time. Like, just literally just bet on sports. You just know what happens. Just memorize the scores of games and bet, like, everything. Bet every fucking bet possible. Yeah. You get so rich.
So the actual weird thing that came out of this was John Titor was on this message board saying that the IBM computer would be able to solve the 2038 problem because I don't know anything about computers, but it had some kind of coding or language that could reset all of these computers.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out in 2004, literally 4 years afterwards, that was right. This is mm-hmm. the one computer that actually could reset if you had it mm-hmm. and like bring you back. But there's not really any of them left. To this day, some people are convinced that he was a time traveler because he predicted 4 years ahead of time that this computer would be the one that would be able to solve the 2038 problem.
That could have been a lucky guess, or he could have just been an engineer there.
I don't know.
I don't know. Speaking of time travel, I read a headline. I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I did not read the article, but I read a headline that said something. So the contents of this article might not be anything to do with this headline. Unlike most of America, I'm willing to admit I didn't actually read this thing. But I saw a headline that said that the math suggests that non-paradoxical time travel could be possible. I don't know how the fuck math, which we which is imaginary, and it just happens to work out and prove that another imaginary thing could happen without having dire consequences. But who knows?
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about math just fake, but it happens to work?
I hate math. I think math is really cool, but my brain is not wired to do math.
What if the only reason the math works out is because our numbers are all completely wrong, but they're so consistently wrong that it doesn't matter?
I think that means that it works.
Yeah. I guess I mean, like,
I mean, numbers can't be wrong because numbers aren't real.
That's true.
You know?
That is a fact. Yeah. Time travel is interesting, but I don't like it. I think we should stop researching it because, really, you could step on a single insect and completely fuck up all of the future.
Yeah. Are you referencing the butterfly effect?
Yeah, the butterfly effect, I guess. Even if you kill something as small as a mosquito, right? That mosquito could be carrying malaria, and that malaria could kill someone. And if that person doesn't die, that person will become the dictator of the world, you know?
Yeah. I actually read this book. It was a novel, so it wasn't real science or anything, but their theory was that even if you're literally just laying in bed, if you are breathing and, like, moving atoms around in the air, like, you are influencing what happens in our world in a very, like, there's a really big ripple effect no matter what.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
I mean, so I think time travel is really fascinating. It is more just like, I think it's just too risky to pursue because if you change anything in the past, I don't care what your fucking math says about it's possible. It's impossible that if you change anything, if you just talk to someone, that has consequences that have to affect the future.
Yeah, I mean, let alone if you ask anyone, like, if you could go back in time and do anything, what would you do? And people are like, I would kill Hitler or something. Like, that's going to have – you think that's not going to have consequences?
That's going to have dire consequences.
I mean, who knows?
The world would be so different. Sure, I understand, but it's like you can't just do that. If I could go back in time, I would just change things selfishly. I wouldn't change, like – I want, it's like otherwise it would be, everything would be substantially different. Yeah, but
I mean, like, that could really change the course of the world, even if it's just Steve getting rich.
Mm-hmm.
That could change things.
No, I know. It's like, it could definitely change things, but if I were to, I'd only change things in my life, because then that's a little different. If I time travel and change, like, anything else, that'd be so bad.
Yeah, I have a few other case studies.
Go for it.
If you're interested.
I also
have some funny – so there's a website called johntitor.com, and it literally is a compilation of everything that he's ever written on the internet.
Yeah.
In that four-month span. And you could go into all these different forums. So, like, John Titor's predictions about mad cow disease – or, like, John Titor's predictions about catastrophes and tsunamis worldwide. Like, this guy really cast a wide net.
Oh, my God. Hold up. That reminds me. On that Darren character's website, he had a book that was on it. He had something saying, did Zozo predict the 2020 pandemic? It's like, no, he fucking didn't.
Zozo,
profiteering off his nonsense. Zozo.
I don't like Zozo.
He's the wind god demon or whatever the hell he is. Wind has nothing to do with COVID.
Zozo's gonna, like, come get us in our sleep tonight.
And do what? Spook us a little bit?
I don't know.
You're more spooked than I am. You're a girl.
Could beat up Zozo if I wanted to.
You got a Louisville slugger.
I know.
Guarantee he did not deal with that growing up when he was alive.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely not.
So let's get into these stories. What else you got for
all
me?
All right. So this is Sir Victor Goddard.
We got a lot of Victors. We had a Victor Surge last week. We have a Sir Victor Goddard this week.
Yeah, that's true. You got a lot of Victors. So this story is really dramatic. And so Sir Victor Goddard, in 1935, he was a wing commander.
Is that like airplanes?
Yes. Yeah, but he was, I think he was English.
Mm-hmm.
So his home base was in Andover, England. And he was flying from Edinburgh, Scotland to Andover, England. And on the Sunday before he was flying back, he visited this abandoned airfield.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of like a morbid curiosity kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he visited it and it really freaked him out and like kind of spooked him. And then that Monday, so the next day, he began his flight home. And the weather was very dark and ominous. And he's flying over the mountains and all this stuff. And his radio starts going really weird. And there's all this rain, so he can't see very well. And he tries to go up above the clouds, but he literally can't. He like can't go that high. So he totally loses control of his plane, begins to spiral downward. Mm-hmm. He's struggling with the controls. And so now he's going like 150 miles an hour, just barreling through the sky. And he's like, all right, this is it. I'm going to die. And all of this sudden, he comes upon like this patch of sunlight. And it's like nothing was ever bad. His plane is flying perfect now. There's no clouds in the sky. It's just like, boop, fine. And he flies over the abandoned airfield that he was at the day before. And there's four pristine planes sitting at the edge of the airfield, and they're all yellow, and there's these airplane mechanics working in blue overalls. And he's like, that is crazy, because I was literally there yesterday and it was abandoned. So he was just so rattled from everything that had happened. So he flew all the way back to England and told everyone what happened, and they're like, you're crazy. And he went back to that airfield, and there was nothing there.
Oh my God.
Absolutely nothing there. And still abandoned, like grown over, whatever. And then he went back, he like just continued about his life, went back 4 years later.
Mm-hmm.
It was exactly like he had seen it when he flew over it. There was yellow airplanes and the mechanics working in blue overalls. It was like the exact kind of airplane that he had seen.
Mm-hmm.
So the theory is that he flew into some sort of ripple of time and then like came out on the other side.
That's crazy. So is that airfield abandoned now?
I don't think it is. Hmm. I think he flew like 4 years into the future, just like a very short amount of time.
That's interesting. That's really weird.
Very strange, right?
Cool that can happen. I mean, again, like, I mean, that'd be so freaky though. Better than him dying though, gotta say.
Yeah. But how crazy would that be? And there's a few other stories I found, but those were the most compelling.
That's
interesting. There's a lot of people who claim to be chrononauts.
What's a chrononaut?
Chrononauts are time travelers.
Ooh, and chrononaut.
I know, that's a good word to add to your vocabulary. it's like an astronaut, but
in chrono.
Like chronological time.
Oh.
So you're like, I don't know if that's what it is. That just came to my brain.
Again, if they are time travelers, why aren't they like billionaires right now?
You know?
I'm not saying that just because they know how Amazon was created, that they could have created it themselves, because they couldn't have. They are not that smart and probably don't have the means. Again, I always go back to sports betting, right? I don't gamble, but if you know the outcome, there's a lot of money to be made on this stuff, and it's a quick payout.
Yeah, but if I was thrown into the year 2000 right now, if someone just plopped me into 2000, I would have no idea who won any sports game
just
in that
bet
year.
The Patriots on the just bet the Super Bowl on the Patriots, and you're probably right.
But like, if you plopped me in there with nothing, I would not be able to do that. I don't think that in and of itself is evidence that time travelers don't exist. I think there's
a lot of evidence they don't.
But
you could make good investments. You could bet on sports. You could make all sorts of predictions that all turn true. I just feel like, even if you obviously don't know everything that happens, you gotta know enough stuff.
Yeah, but maybe they don't want to mess it up.
Maybe. Yeah, so it's been a great episode. Next week's episode, we have an awesome guest. We have Kian from Wine Atlantic Weird. I hope I pronounced his name right. Is either Kian or Keen? I can't quite remember right now. That's going to be an awesome episode. We're going to talk about some local cryptids with him, which should be really fun. And then in the coming weeks, we have a collab with the Geesebumps. Did You Mean a Goosebumps podcast, which should be fun. We're doing a little collab. We're going to watch one of my favorite all-time episodes and discuss it.
So check us out on social, Instagram and Twitter at podcast_misfits, and also on YouTube, Misfits and Mysteries. We also have a blog, misfitsandmysteries.com, so check that out too.
Yeah, we're also on Pinterest. I mean, I don't really know how Pinterest works, but it's another spike
in figuring it blogs. Out.
So if like that's what you do, you can subscribe there, I guess. And as I said before, please don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast, whatever platform you're listening to. And please give us constructive feedback. We do not tolerate bullies.
Now everyone's gonna come and bully Steve.
Yeah, they're gonna be really mean. I'm gonna contact your mothers, and you're gonna lose your fucking TV privileges, okay, young man or woman.
All right,
well,
all right, guys. Well, everybody stay spooky. This is coming out the day after the election, so
2 days.
2 days after the election, so hope everybody's doing okay.
Yeah, and don't forget to vote. I mean, I guess it's too late because you're voting stops Tuesday, but don't forget to vote. So it's a good thing to do. All right, well, stay spooky, everyone.
Stay spooky. Good night.
Bye.